Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. We have the docket for November 17th, 2021. First, did the prosecution withhold evidence in the Rittenhouse case? That's what the defense is alleging. Second, the defense case begins in the Ahmaud Arbery case. Third, smash and grabs. I hear it's a way to spend your evenings, particularly in California. Julius Jones, innocent man or someone that deserves the punishment that is going to be imposed? Well, and the next one, this is why I use Grubhub. And do you know who's coming to your house? You may want to check. And then finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. The channel where, that's right, a practicing criminal defense attorney with 26 years of experience explains the facts, the procedure, and the law regarding current and cold cases. We hope that you enjoy. Now, if you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button. Hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. And hopefully you joined us last night for our live show. And once again, thank you to all our Patreon members as well. It was a great show last night as well. Now, also, don't forget, if you can't watch us, you can listen to us by going to any of your favorite podcasting apps. Simply type in Crime Talk with Scott Reich. And you can listen to all of the episodes, not only this one, but all of those before us. All right. Now, before we get to the docket, one final thing. Let's talk about the people that help support Crime Talk. That's right. You got to pay the bills to keep the lights on. Please go to crimetalkprep.com where you can claim your 3-month emergency food kit. In today's world of supply chain shortages and the unknown world that we live in, now is the time you have to be prepared. So if you go to crimetalkprep.com, you can get a 3-month emergency food kit and you can get $100 off. It is the responsible thing to do. Listen, if anyone's been to the store, you know that the shelves are a little short, and we're not talking about Christmas gifts. We're talking about food items. You need to be prepared. Go to crimetalkprep.com. You'll be absolutely happy and satisfied that you did. All right, let's get to the docket today. All right, it is November 17th, 2021, and on the docket first is the Kyle Rittenhouse case. All right, the big issue for the day in the second day that the jury has been deliberating. First, the jurors have requested to watch videos, and the judge commented that his worst fears has become true because there's a question of they want to watch all the videos that are at issue. Now, there's a bigger issue we'll get to in just a second, and that's why the judge said all his fears have come true, because if there's an issue about what evidence should have gone back to the jury and not, that's right, there could be a problem. But the jury has a right to look at the evidence. The evidence is, however, do they get to look at the video once? Do they get to look at the video as much as they want? Do they get to look at it in the comfort of their jury room, or do they get to watch it in the courtroom with nobody else there? Well, the judge has ruled that nobody else will be in the courtroom with the jurors, and they can watch it in the courtroom. They don't get to go back over and over it again, is at least my understanding. That becomes critical in some states. They limit the review of a defendant's statement to basically one time through. But when it's the other physical evidence, they should be allowed to go back and watch it literally frame by frame if they choose to do so. We won't be there, so we can't tell you exactly what's going to happen. All right, the issue for today is that the prosecutors in the Kyle Rittenhouse case are, it's alleged that they withheld evidence from the defense that was at the center of their case, only sharing the high definition drone video footage on which they basically hung their prosecution hat after the trial has concluded. That's a big problem. So Assistant District Attorney Thomas Binger played the enhanced drone footage to the jury during his closing statement and claimed that it showed Kyle Rittenhouse pointing the gun at people, an assertion that opened the door to the state claiming that Rittenhouse provoked the violence on the night of August 25th of 2020. Now, Rittenhouse's defense insists that the state only shared the video with the defense after evidence had closed on Saturday, November 13th. Now, lawyers for Rittenhouse have filed a motion for a mistrial with prejudice and basically asked the case to be closed based upon this and several other grounds. Now, according to the motion, the problem is the prosecution gave the defense a compressed version of the video. What that means is the video provided to the defense was not as clear as the video kept by the state prosecutors. And the file size of the defense video is just 3.6 megabytes, while the prosecution's is 11.2 megabytes, and the larger file was not presented to the defense until after the trial had concluded. The motion states, as it relates to the compressed drone footage, the prosecution should be required to explain to the court why they did not copy the footage for the defendant with the same quality as their copy. The video footage has been at the center of this case. The idea that the state would provide a lesser quality footage and then use that footage as a linchpin in their case is the very reason they requested and were granted the provocation instruction by the court. According to the defense, the failure to provide the same quality footage in this particular case is intentional and clearly prejudices the defendant. Well, the jury is still out, as we mentioned, deliberating the fate of Kyle Rittenhouse. And like I said, the jury Tuesday requested extra copies of the jury instructions, which I'm a little surprised that they didn't get extra copies already. Obviously, those instructions include the legal requirements that the prosecution must meet to prove each charge beyond a reasonable doubt, and whether Rittenhouse provoked the shooting, as well as the requirement the defense must meet to prove self-defense. Now, remember, the defense of self-defense has been given. The judge said there's sufficient evidence for the jury to consider that. It's an affirmative defense. It's saying, yes, I did what I'm alleged of doing, but I was legally justified in doing so. And now the prosecution had to disprove self-defense beyond a reasonable doubt. That's why a lot of commentators believe that the defense should win, because that's a very high burden that they have, may have a tough time to overcome. However, you never know what a jury's going to do, so we will sit back and wait. And as we've stated, as long as we're around and the jury comes back, we'll bring it to you live. Next on the docket, Ahmaud Arbery. Well, the prosecutors rested their case Tuesday after 8 days of testimony in the trial of the three men accused of murdering Ahmaud Arbery: Greg McMichael, his son Travis McMichael, and their neighbor William Roddy Bryan are charged with the murder, aggravated assault, and false imprisonment, for which they face up to life in prison. The defense in the Ahmaud Arbery killing trial is expected to give opening statements Wednesday, and that's the day after the prosecution rested, obviously. And they're going to provide testimony from investigators and experts over the course of more than a week. Now, the judge denied the defense motion for a motion for judgment of acquittal on at least some of the charges based upon their arguments that a jury couldn't find them guilty based upon the evidence that has been presented. Now, remember, a motion for judgment of acquittal is really the same standard as a preliminary hearing standard. The evidence at the time of motion for judgment of acquittal has to be viewed in the light most favorable to the prosecution, drawing all inferences in favor to the prosecution. It's not the judge's job to substitute his judgment as a 13th juror, and as long as some evidence has been presented to each and every element of the charges, the case will go to a jury. A motion for judgment of acquittal is usually quite perfunctory in most cases because the prosecution has done their job, but you make it to preserve the argument down the road on appeal. Late last week, attorney Jason Sheffield said he expected a defense to call 30 witnesses with testimony stretching into early next week. Now, the prosecutors rested after 23 witnesses. I'm not exactly sure who the defense is going to call with 23 witnesses. Seems a little long to me. We'll see. All right, take a look at this. Smash and grab. That's right. It's a thing. It's a thing in California. It's almost like getting together with friends, heading to the mall. Look, 9 people reportedly entered a jewelry store in Concord, California on Monday and stole jewels after breaking the glass case with hammers. Now, the Concord PD shared a quick surveillance video taken inside the Iceberg Diamonds jewelry store at the Sun Valley Mall. The suspects, all of whom wear masks, gloves, and sweatshirts, can be seen smashing the glass display cases and grabbing what they can. Now, according to the police, the incident occurred at approximately 7:30 p.m. on November 15th, and police say a group of 9 people entered the store and stole the jewelry. Employees who tried stopping the robbers were reportedly kept back by hammer-wielding criminals, and the suspects fled and exited through a Red Robin restaurant before the police arrived on the scene. The police wrote that in their statements that the mallgoers reportedly heard gunshots, but that wasn't gunshots. That was actually the hammers breaking the glass. I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, complete lawlessness. Is this what the world has come to? And you can't do anything to protect your property. I don't know. Maybe the law is going to have to change, because I think eventually people are going to get tired of other people taking their stuff without paying them for their stuff. All right, Julius Jones. This is a death penalty case down in Oklahoma. And the police have erected barricades around the Oklahoma governor's mansion ahead of the scheduled execution of Julius Jones, as a long list of celebrities, most notably Kim Kardashian, has pled for clemency. Now, Jones is 41, is set to be put to death by lethal injection at 4 p.m. tomorrow for a 1999 murder, unless Governor Kevin Stitt makes an 11th-hour decision to spare his life. Now, Stitt has refused to meet with Jones' mother and the sister in recent days, and has given no indication of how or when he will decide the clemency request. The state's pardon and parole board voted 3-1 on November 1 to recommend Stitt grant clemency to Jones and commute his sentence to life in prison. But so far, the governor has not been swayed, and more than 6.4 million people have signed a petition on change.org asking that Stitt reconsider his decision to allow the no clemency to be given. Now, you have to remember, the governor has kind of the ultimate say. This goes back to literally the king could grant clemency for somebody that they thought that was worthy and had changed. So though you have the court process and you have appeals, the clemency, the power of the king, so to speak, to grant that clemency rests with the governor. And we'll see if the governor grants clemency or not. It doesn't look like it, but we'll have to wait and see. So protesters have flocked to the mansion for weeks, demanding Jones, who's maintained his innocence over the last 2 decades, be spared. Now, Kim Kardashian, who's emerged as a criminal justice reform advocate in recent years, repeatedly has called on Stitt to spare Jones' life and has stayed in touch with the death row inmate's family. Now, Jones was convicted in 2002 for the killing of Edmond businessman Paul Howell during a carjacking. Now, Jones claims he was framed by the actual killer, Christopher Jordan, a high school friend and co-defendant who testified against Jones and was released from prison after 15 years. The governor has met with the Howell family, who maintains that Jones is the man responsible for the murder. Now, following the governor's recent refusal to meet with the family, Kardashian resorted to tweets saying, "This is the cold machinery of the death penalty. An innocent man could be put to death. My heart breaks for Julius and so many others who have suffered such tragic miscarriage of justice. We are all anxious awaiting a decision from Governor Stitt, and he can choose to accept the recommendation for a second time from the parole board to grant Julius clemency, life without the possibility of parole, or have him executed on Thursday." Now, Julius, his family, and everyone on his team are still hopeful Stitt will do the right thing, according to them. And Jones' mother, who's now received an invite to her son's execution, said that she and her family will keep praying after Stitz has refused to speak with them. The state and county prosecutors said that the evidence against Jones is overwhelming, and the trial transcripts show witnesses identified Jones as the shooter and placed him in Howell's stolen vehicle. Investigators also found the murder weapon and a bandana with Jones' DNA in an attic space above his bedroom. Jones claims the murder weapon was placed there by the actual killer, who visited Jones' house after Howell was shot. Now, Oklahoma ended a 6-year moratorium on executions brought on by concerns over its method. Last month, John Marion Grant convulsed and vomited as he was being put to death on October 28th. And it's not clear yet why Grant vomited, but the medical experts agree that the dosage of the sedative midazolam that Oklahoma and other states use in their execution protocols is massive compared with what's standard in surgeries. And Grant was the first person in Oklahoma to be executed since a series of flawed lethal injections back in 2014 and 2015. So, ladies and gentlemen, this case brings up a lot of issues. Yes, there's issues regarding the death penalty. Some people are for it, other people are against it. It's still permitted under the law. As the Supreme Court briefly ruled that the death penalty was cruel and unusual punishment in violation of the Eighth Amendment back in the 70s, but that case was later reversed, and the states can choose how they want to resolve capital cases. Oklahoma still has the death penalty, and it'll be up to the governor at this point to decide whether clemency should be granted. But a couple things come up. You have a gentleman who is accused of a crime and a co-defendant who testified against him. Couple of things. Yes, the threat of imminent incarceration tends to break the bonds of loyalty, and one can be found guilty as a complicitor even if the other person, who got 15 years, say, for example, let's say he was the true killer. A complicitor can be found guilty just like he pulled the trigger himself. However, there is evidence, and the jury believed it, that in this particular case, Mr. Julius Jones was in fact the killer of the victim of the carjacking. So when people say he could possibly be innocent, well, that's one of the things you have to do to really try to show that you shouldn't be on death row, is you have to show actual innocence. Now, let's not be naive. Have innocent people been executed? No doubt in my mind whatsoever, because look how many people have been this close to being executed, only to basically be exonerated through DNA evidence. Not the case here. Mr. Jones may be a nice guy. He may have completely changed his way over the last two decades in prison. But the reality of it is, unfortunately, as we talked about last night, the law really doesn't care about one's feelings. It's there to be applied equally to all people, and people will debate whether it's applied equally. Let me know what you think. This is a complicated case. All right, next on the docket. This is why I use Grubhub, okay? A California DoorDash driver was caught on camera using a trash can as a toilet last week in an upscale Brentwood apartment building. The incident happened in the lobby of the apartment building last Thursday morning. Security footage captured the DoorDash delivery driver defecating into a trash can after reportedly dropping food off to a customer. Now, Lisa Stanley is the manager of the apartment building, but didn't learn about the incident until a tenant reported it. I checked the video and I literally threw up. I was so sick, she said. There is no scenario in the world for what I saw happen. This is a health problem here because that you can see what's going to deliver other people's meals. DoorDash offered Stanley a discount on her next order after she submitted the complaint. The company also refunded her money from the order and informed her that the driver was no longer delivering for DoorDash. Had she asked, I might have let her use my bathroom, according to Ms. Stanley. You just can't make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. Who knows? Maybe it was just an absolute emergency. But the reality of it is, ew. All right. Do you know who's coming to your house? Okay. A Virginia man is on trial for allegedly murdering and assaulting a Virginia Commonwealth University administrator after she complained about the suspect's shoddy construction work. Thomas Edward Clark is currently on trial for the death of 53-year-old Suzanne Fairman. Now, the Richmond police found the victim deceased inside her home in May of 2019, and family members said that she failed to show up at an event, which was unlike her. And according to the police, Fairman was face down inside her bathtub. The water was running, and there was a bloody knife that was left on the bathroom counter. Also, she was fully clothed, and according to court documents, her pants were apparently inside out, and her shirt was lifted, exposing a black raw. Now, investigators also found ligatures around Fairman's wrists and blood on her pillow and sheets. Now, the contractor who had been hired to do a deck for Miss Fairman. Fairman apparently wasn't satisfied with the sloppy work and asked the landscapers to redo it. Investigators found Clark's bandana on Fairman's counter, along with the knife and a pair of gloves that Clark's DNA had on them. The defense argued that the items could have had possible contamination since Clark was part of the team that worked on the victim's desk. Now, the prosecution added that Clark's DNA was also found in Fairman's body and on her underwear. That does kind of eliminate everybody else now, doesn't it? The point is, ladies and gentlemen, you have to be absolutely careful who you invite to your house, whether it's doing work, watching your kids, watching your dog, I don't care. You got to be careful. So before we get on with the dumb criminal, let's take a quick recess. please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. And finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Crime Talk's dumb criminal of the day. A Florida inmate charged with assaulting his roommate told cops that the victim's farts were too much and they were stinking up the cell, and he failed to give him a courtesy flush after using their shared toilet. Investigators allege that Christopher Callen, 33, pummeled Amado Dominguez Quevedo, 57, during a confrontation Thursday night inside their cell in Monroe County Detention Center in Key West. When questioned by cops, Callen, whose knuckles and hands were red, appeared to provide a motive for the assault, complaining about his cellmate's flatulence and toilet habits. He also complained that Dominguez Quevedo speaks weird languages, according to the arrest report. Now, Callen was charged with aggravated battery by an inmate, a felony for which he is scheduled to be arraigned on November 19th. The judges ordered Callen to have no contact with Dominguez Quevedo.